I am a pastor, and of course my heart is not here in one way, although it is. My heart is in Clover, South Carolina, and I thank God for Calvary Baptist Church. I was telling Brother Ken yesterday, boy, my church has taken care of me. I thank God for them. I would not have listened to me 35 years ago. They was talking about me needing a medal. I said, no, you're the ones that need the medal. But I'm thankful that God has helped us and God has brought us along the way. And being a pastor, I have one goal in mind, and that's whether it's at Liberty Baptist Church or whether it's at Calvary Baptist Church or any other Baptist church or any other church that God lets me preach in. I want to be an encouragement and a help to God's people. I'm well aware that this is a Sunday morning crowd. I'm well aware that by some standards you're supposed to preach evangelistic messages on Sunday morning and let the rest of it go and try to draw people to the Lord. I'm all for getting people saved. I'm all for preaching the cross. It ought to be in every message you preach. I'm all for salvation. You ought to preach it and give people an opportunity to be saved every time you preach. But I also got sense enough to know you got to go where God leads you. And I feel this morning that God is leading me in this direction, and I want to be a help and an encouragement to you. And if it helped my people, I believe it'll help you. I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. I want to begin reading in verse 29, and we'll read down through verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 29. Here's some pages turning, so I'll wait just a moment. 1 Kings chapter 22. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. But the king of Sisera commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel, and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at venture, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host. And I want you to notice this little phrase very carefully. For I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Sisraeans and died at even. This lets me know that the full day he was living and died because of, and I want to use this word and take it rightly, stupidity. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And thou went a proclamation throughout the host against the going down, about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor, according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. I want to speak to you just a few moments this morning on this subject, wounded in the battles of life. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege you've given us once again to open the word of God. I pray that you'll anoint your servant afresh and anew. Give us unction from on high. And maybe we say this morning that which needs to be said. Give me sense enough, Lord, to say that which is needed and sense enough not to say that which needs not to be said. Help me now to do that which brings honor and glory unto thee. And Lord, if it be one in our midst today that does not know you as personal Savior, I pray that you would convict that heart, open those eyes, draw them unto yourself, and save them before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for the child of God that's here this morning, that's come to worship you in spirit and truth. And dear Lord, we need help today. We'd ask you to overshadow this place, to manifest yourself in such a way that only you can get glory out of it. And we'd have to stand back and said, look at what our God has done. Thank you again now for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's no question about it. We live in a sick world today. One does not have to look far or to be a scholar to analyze the situation. Not only about our country, but in the world. Everywhere you go, you're going to run into the same situations and the same problems. This world is a very, very sick place. It is sick politically. Never in my life have I known it to be so evil and so devastating in the day that we're living, when people are turning from the truth openly and knowing the right way but not going in it. We are sick economically. We all know that. I don't even have to mention that. It's a sick place as we are in this world today. We are sick ethically. Ethics don't exist anymore, and sadly, not even in the religious circles. And I like what your pastor said, God hates religion. But there are not even many ethic and moral standards, even in the religious circle in the so-called world that we live in today. We are sick morally. The moral thermostat in America, is at its lowest ebb that I've ever seen it in my lifetime. We are sick spiritually. There's no doubt about it. This is a sick nation, and we are sick in this world. But may I say to you that the Church of the Living God is a spiritual hospital for the sick. Thank God it's a healing place for the hurting, and a place that you can come to hear when you have no hope to find hope, and when you have no help to find the help of the living God that's put it together and designed it for such a time as this. I realize that we are in a world that's waxing worse and worse, and things are not going to get any better. But thank God for the great promise of our sovereign God of heaven that's promised to us that He would never leave nor forsake us, and He would be with us throughout eternity as well as in this sick world that we are living in. This place is a place that we can come and be ministered to, and a place where people can come to be helped and healed in their ills. It ought to be a spiritual hospital for the healing, not a morgue for the embalming. It ought to be a place that we could come, thank God, to be a healing agency for the sin-sick soul, for the sin-sick sinner, for the one that comes that needs to hear from God, irregardless of a man's sin. He ought to be able to come among God's people and hear a clear proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and hear a clear presentation of the authoritative ways that God has to set a man up and to bring him in and to save his wretched soul. He ought to be able to come to the living house of God and find healing touch and salvation for his soul if he wants God. You ought to be able to come into a place such as this, hear a clear-cut presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and leave on your way to heaven knowing that you're heaven-bound with the hammer down. The church ought to be a place for the healing for sorrowful, the place for healing for the stricken saints and for the servants of God. When we come to the Church of the Living God, as God's people, we don't need to come and devour one another. We don't need to come and make fun one another. We need to come, thank God, and be together and not destroy one another. We need to come into an atmosphere where God can receive and God can give, and we can receive the healing and the proclamation and the oils of blessings upon our lives. We ought to be able to go out of this church restored, renewed, and revived in Christ Jesus our Lord. It ought to be a place that we can come and thank God, say hallelujah, I've heard from my God once again. I've heard from the sovereign God of heaven who is in control of everything and that will help me along the way. Thank God there is hope. Thank God there is help for the ones that are hurting. Thank God there is a place that still uplifts our Lord and our Savior and points us to Jesus Christ. I pray to God today, and I hope you'll take this right, that we have a healing meeting. We talk about all kind of meetings. Talk about an evangelistic meeting, a revival meeting, a Bible conference meeting, a missions meeting, all of these things. But when's the last time you've heard it talked about a healing mission and a healing meeting? Now don't get wrong, I'm not going off on the deep end. I want to say that every one of God's children needs to be healed. Every one of God's children need to hear from God and to have that which God does for them that no one else can do. Now, some may not agree with what I'm about to say, but if you disagree, don't jump on me. I'm feeling a little bit nervous today anyway, and you're not going to change what I believe. I believe with all my heart that we've got a God that knows where we're at, and a God that even puts us in the condition we are in so He can prove Himself to us that we are God and that He is God, and besides Him there is none else. I believe with all my heart that the blood of Jesus Christ's atonement gives us healing for our very soul and our very spirit. I believe today, and I'm well aware that you can get in one crowd or the other, and I realize there's all kind of crowds running all over the place, but I'm glad I'm in the Bible crowd. I'm glad I'm in the believing crowd that believes God and believes that God will do what He said He would do for His children. Now I want to say that no matter what crowd you're in, you can get in the ditch. One crowd cries all the time that physical healing was not in the atonement. Then there's another crowd that says everything was in the atonement, and so therefore you ought not be sick, and if you are sick, you are not right with God. My question to that crowd is, what do you do with Jesus said, this was done for my glory? My question is, how do we live above sin? My question is, if we still have the sinful nature, and we do, and it's not eradicated, as long as we have it, then we're going to have to put up with stuff, and we're going to have to go through hell on this earth that we wish we didn't have to go through. But I want to say that ultimately, thank God, there will be a day when we'll have a glorified body to be with Him forevermore, and there'll be no more heartaches, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more trials, and there'll be no more pain. Thank God we will be with Him forevermore. More to stand with Him throughout eternity, because that healing was in the atonement of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord. Now, you don't have perfect health. You are not claiming that which God provided for you, they say. You don't have enough faith if you something's wrong with you. Well, I will tell you something. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that if I search my heart and I ask God to help me, and I've examined myself as far as I can do in this natural body, get right with Him as far as my solid mind and sound mind will let me get right with Him, and everything is squared away, then whatever comes my way is for His honor and for His glory. And I can look to Him and says, I don't understand it, but I do believe, thank God, that You're in control of it. I'm glad today, thank God, I'm among people that knows what it is to forgive. I'm thankful I'm among people, thank God, that knows what it is to have their sins washed away, to know what it is to live a hellacious life and to live a wicked life and to live on the other side, but God didn't throw us away. God stopped over and picked us up and brought us on to Him. Thank God He doesn't hold what I was against me. He looks at me and sees me in the blood of Jesus Christ, my precious Lord. What a wonderful God we have and a wonderful God that we serve. Now I want to say that we could go on and on and on about the healing thing, but I want to go on and get in this message this morning, and I want to look at this thing concerning what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. We could talk about James chapter 5. It's in the book. I believe that. I believe there's certain conditions that God will heal on. I believe that sometimes God heals immediately. Sometimes God sees fit to let you go through a little spell before He heals. And sometimes God sees fit not to. But nevertheless, He's still God. Nevertheless, we still do what God tells us to do. Don't you get bad. Don't you get bitter. Don't you back up and say, God done that for her, but He's not doing it for me. I want to tell you something. It's God's business who He touches, when He touches them, how He touches them, and how He operates. He's the God this morning knows where we're at. And God has in this mold. God has put us in this position. And God has brought us to this place that He can get our attention and to mold us and to make us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I can't do that. Your pastor cannot do that. You cannot do that one for another. The only one that can do that is God Himself. And so as we see this morning that the problem needs to be understood, that we have what we call sanctification. After you've been saved by the grace of God, that's salvation. Thank God that's a once done thing. You'll never have to be redeemed again once you've been saved by the grace of God. You're in forever. Somebody says you want them eternal security preachers. I believe the Bible. I believe, thank God, everything that God does is everlasting. I believe when God saves you, He saves you forever. I believe whatsoever God doeth, it shall be His will, and He'll do it according to His divine plan and His promise. And once I'm saved, I'm in. I've made peace with God. That's my justification. But I want to tell you something that doesn't stop there. Oh no, we have sanctification. I have been saved. I am being saved, and I forever shall be saved. There's a future event yet to take place that this body has not yet been redeemed completely. Oh, it's been paid for. It's in the atonement. We're just as good as thou, as Romans chapter 8 tells us. But I still have to put up with this sinful nature. I'm still in this body, and so therefore there's wounds that I have to experience. There's things that I have to go up against and things that I don't understand. But nevertheless, He's the God that's in control, and He's the God that'll see you through, and the God that'll bring you to where He wants to bring you. Now, let me say to you, as we look this morning at this particular passage of Scripture, and I want to preach to you for a few moments this morning on the subject wounds in the battle of life. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 29 through verse 38, the Scripture that I read to you this morning, these two kings were going to battle, and God had already said one of them was going, what was going to happen to one of them. Ahab was probably the most wickedest king, when the Bible says he was the wickedest king on the face of the earth that Israel had. He's going to get his. In chapter 19, God had promised that he was going to get it. Oh, Elijah told him, said, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. And just what God says takes place. You can rest assured. He may have thought he disguised himself. He may have thought that he could run from that crowd. He may have thought that it won't come into him. But then that one took that bow and shot it at peradventure. Oh, he shot it at by chance. It went to the place that God directed that arrow. You and I would think it would be a chance. You and I would think it was accident, but God is a providential God, not an accidental God. And so God directed that arrow right where He wanted and put it into that place. I'm not trying to give you a exegesis of this Scripture. I'm not trying to lift this out and look at a word study on this Scripture. I want to borrow a phrase from this Scripture and bring it down to where we live this morning and give you a practical message on the wounds of this life. I know this morning, thank God, that I am talking to people that know what I'm talking about concerning being wounded, concerning this life that you're in, concerning going on with God. I want to look at the other side of this. They went out, and old Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, as they went out, I'm going to disguise myself. They're after me, you know, so I'm going to disguise myself and hide and go in a different direction. But I'm going to tell you something, you can't hide from God. I'm going to tell you something, no matter what you go or what you have or who you are or where you come from, it's going to happen to you. It's going to take place, and it makes no difference what building you're in, what yard you're in, what home you're in. It can happen to you. I like the phrase, it's level ground at the foot of the cross. Thank God it is. It makes no difference how high a man may think he is, how low a person may be. Thank God when he comes to the level ground of the cross, we are all in Christ Jesus, and that's the way that he does it. We are sinner lost and undone without God. Well, preacher, I got saved. I got born into the family of God, and my problem's over. You better wish they were. I want to say to you this morning, your problems probably just began when you get saved. Your trials just began in some areas when you just get saved. The difference is, Brother Mike, I've got somebody to carry them to now. I've got someone, thank God, I can take my load to. I've got someone that knows where I'm at and what I'm doing. Thank God for what He's given me and where He's brought me about. Now, as we look at one of these soldiers, he took an arrow after they found out that old Ahab wanted one. He'd been disguised. He said, this ain't the one we're after. We were told not to shoot anybody but him. And so he just took it in disgust, I believe. He took that arrow, put it in his bow, pulled it and let it go, just shot it up in the air. And as that arrow was going round and round and going circling and circling, and he started on his detour down. And when it began to going down and coming on down, 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 the Holy Ghost says, whoop, get over here. And it went right over here, right into that breastplate of the place that was not covered, right in between, and it hit him right in his chest. I want to tell you, God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to ring your bell. God knows how to put the arrow in the bow and to pull it and to shoot it, not by chance, but glory to God, by providence, and get a hold of your heart and to your soul. You are not exempt, friend, from going through trials. You are not exempt going through battles. You are not exempt from carrying burdens. You are not exempt from things that go on in this day. There's coming a day when we'll all lay it down. There's coming a day when there'll be no more battles. There's coming a day when there'll be no more burdens. But until then, we'll keep on trusting Jesus. We'll keep on trusting God, and we'll keep on going with Him. Thank God, I'm glad this morning for what God's done for me and what God has guided my path and healed me up in a way that I can look back and says I didn't like it, but thank God I know it's for my good and for your glory. Hope I don't have to go through it again, but you, God, do what you have to. Thank God, I'm glad. Hallelujah, He's in control of it all. Now, if you've not been saved for too long, you may not understand some of the stuff I'm going to talk about this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. Just hang on. You'll get there. You are not exempted. If you think that life is going to be a bed of roses and you'll have no more problems whatsoever, honey, you're in for a rude awakening. But I'm glad this morning this Bible tells me that where God guides, He provides. And I'm glad that God has put it in His plan to put me in His plan. And so therefore I can call upon Him and know what comes my way, that God is in control of it. And He's the one that I must look to and see me through. He's the one that guides that arrow. Now, the first thing that I want you to look at, and I'll not keep you long, but the first thing that I want you to look at is the reality of being wounded is sure. You can put this down and go to the house with it today, friend. The reality of being wounded is sure. Without exception today, if we are honest before God, I dare say that every person in this building that has been saved and has any amount of age on them at all would have to say and cry out loud with Ahab, I'm wounded. I have been wounded. I'm wounded. You see, our response to the wounds in life will ever make us better or worse. It'll make you bitter or it'll make you better. And God has put these things in our life to draw our attention to show us that we cannot operate it ourselves. We just make a mess out of things. We just tear things all to pieces. But God says, I've allowed this to show you that I'm God, and besides me, there is none else. You see, our response to the wounds in life will either make us better or bitter. The need, they not need kill you, but certainly you can die from them. You can die from wounds that don't have to kill you to start with, just as this one didn't. But a little later on in the day He died, and when you nurse that womb, and when you have pity parties, and when you look at it from the wrong way, and you try to carry it yourself, and you do that away from everything that God's told you, then you're going to die in the battle. And I'm going to tell you something today. God has times for us that we think we're going to die, but He's intervened and raised us back up, and He's healed the wound, and we have the scar we take with us to look back and say, God done it one time. He'll do it again. God delivered me from this one. He'll deliver me from this one. God is the one, thank God, that's in control of it all. Oh, let me tell you. If the wounds are for sure, a reality, where do they come from? Arrows find you wherever you are. He may be one in God's divine sovereign bow this morning. And He's let it go and is circling right into this congregation, finding a place to land. You may be here and you've already been hit by the arrow. You may be here and you've already been wounded. You're still in the battle. You're propped up in the chariot. You're still going along and outward. You look all right, but on the inside you have internal bleeding. You are bleeding because you've been wounded in the battles of this life. Perhaps today, in your personal life, they can bring wounds. In our personal life, I'm talking about the emotional and spiritual and psychological wounds in our spirits and in our heart. God wants to heal you and to make you free from those wounds. And many times when we get to those places, maybe you made a wrong decision when you were young. God knows I did. Maybe you've done many things in your young age that you wish to God you'd have never done, but you can't control that now. That's water under the bridge. You cannot change that now. Don't have a guilt trip. You go on for the glory of God and do what God has called you to do. Maybe before you were saved, you married a young man or a young woman. You married a woman if you're a man. You married a man if you're a woman. That's it, yeah. Maybe you made the wrong decision. Maybe you married the wrong woman or the wrong man. Some do, you know. But unfortunately, it's done. Maybe the decision you made was the wrong decision about school, some stupid or unintelligent decision that you really had, and you suffered the consequences. You put yourself through this and you put yourself through that. And then just to find out after you've done all of that, that they quit doing the things that you trained to do. You're out in the cold and you find yourself bitter because of that decision. You said, why did this happen to me? I'm just throwing a few things out that could happen. Not only before we get saved, but I've made some of the dumbest decisions since I've been saved. Some of my dumbest, stupidest decisions that I've ever made in my life has been since I've been saved. That's when I'm glad, my brother, that he don't throw us away. I'm glad, thank God, he knows what I'm made of. And I'm glad, hallelujah, I can go back to the couch and get forgiveness and crawl up to him and say, God, I've messed up again. Oh, I've had some self-inflicted wounds. I brought a lot of stuff on myself because of my stupidity and because of my decisions and because of what I am. But thanks be unto God. He knows what I'm made of and knows who I am and where I'm at. And he knows what I need. That's the reason he shot that arrow that way. Maybe you lost your job. Everybody else seems like they got it coming in by the thousands. Boy, they pick up a dime, it turns into a $100 bill. You pick up a $100 bill and it turns into a penny. You go in one day and you put all your years and all your must into that job in those years. And then you come to find out all the hours that you served and all the things that you've done. They look at you like some number because you're not adding up and you're costing them now. And they say, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. If you're not careful, you can hurt and bleed with that wound and get bitter and say, God, why did you allow this to happen? The whole thing that the devil wants to do is to get your mind off of you and to get it off of God and to get it on him and to start blaming God and saying, God, you could have, why didn't you? Maybe it's your marriage. Marriages can be hell on earth. Domestic problems. Wives walking off from husbands. Husbands walking off from wives. Children breaking their parents' heart. You reared them right, but they just don't do right. They reached that age when they made that choice and they walked away from God. You couldn't help that. I've got a couple in my church right now. But the devil beats them to death over this thing because their child was raised from a baby. I saw the baby born at Gaston Memorial Hospital. A couple have been with me since I've been there. I saw how that God raised that boy up in church. Sat under my preaching. My God, sat under the preaching of the Word of God. Not some off the wall nincompoop that didn't know what he was talking about. But a man of God that delivered the Word of God and put it out there to people as they are. That boy broke thy heart. The devil sets up on the shoulder and says, look at there now. Where's your God now? They feel like they're complete failures. Look at this preacher. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. Thank God. You have done what God told you to do. You cannot make the choices for them. You have to let them make their own choices. And unfortunately, some of them make the wrong choices. But don't you get dried up on divine and quit serving God and get bitter because you question God about that. That's an individual choice that God gives. You've been wounded because of that. You're sitting here this morning, you might have a facade on the outside. Oh man, you may be disguised on the outside. You may have a smile on the outside. You may look macho on the outside, thinking you're super spiritual, but down deep inside, you are bleeding step by step, day by day, month by month, year by year. That slow wound begins to leak and leak, and your chariot is getting full, and it's fixing to leak out into the streets. I won't help. God knows my heart this morning. You may not agree with the way I'm delivering the Bible, but don't question my motive. Oh my God, I want to help God's people more than I ever have in my life. The older I get, the more I realize why God's got me in this. Why we're doing this. Not to have a pretty little outline and to shout it out, but to help the hurting and to heal the ones that need healing and to help God's people along the way. Yes, we are. We're not super giant. We're not 10 feet tall and bulletproof. We hurt. I'm wounded, he says. Take me out of the battle. God knows you no good in the battle if you're wounded. Maybe you suffered a wound from some friend in your life. Someone way back then was your friend you thought would never do you wrong. They did you wrong. Maybe you didn't do right, but nonetheless, that's no excuse for wounding somebody because they didn't do right. We don't retaliate. Well, let me rephrase that. We shouldn't retaliate. I think the last time I looked in this Bible, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hardest lesson I've ever had to learn these 40 years. Hardest lesson I've ever had to learn is to let God fight it. My personality and the way I am, boy, when somebody goes against me, I'm out for blood. The hardest thing I have to do, brother preacher, the hardest thing I have to remember in these older years, especially, is that God don't use this pulpit as a whipping post. He uses it as a healing station. He uses it, thank God, that we can come and open this and point people and say, accept the grace of God, there go I. Don't you get me wrong and don't you go in this direction. Don't even entertain this thought. A man of God has to preach on sin. A man of God has to stand and tell it like it is. A man of God has to do that to his sheep. I have no authority to come in this pulpit and to shear his sheep. That's his job. My job is to come in here and to be a blessing and encouragement and to help you this morning. And when you're wounded, thank God that you can run and get some help. Maybe a friend said some smart-aleck remark. They didn't mean to hurt you. I guess this is nitpicking. I guess the older I get, the worse it gets. But I'm old Virginia boy. Been in South Carolina now for 36 years. But I get my South Carolina language and my Virginia brogue hung up every once in a while. And I say some words that's funny, and I agree with people. I laugh, and I laugh with you. But then I'll go somewhere, and the devil sat on my shoulder, and he said, you think that's funny? They were just laughing at you. Why don't you shut your mouth, you little country hick, and go back and just throw it in and quit? You up there trying to tell somebody what the Bible says, and you can't even talk right. If you're not careful, I'm just being honest with you. If you're not careful, you can begin to listen to him. And it'll slip in. But then I always go back to remembering when he called me. And the very word that I said, I ain't much. Matter of fact, I ain't nothing. But if you can use me, I'm sure willing. Now don't you get me wrong, and please don't get me wrong. I'm trying to hurry, but don't get me wrong. I didn't run from God's call. I ran to it. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Maybe it could be a multitude of things that's going up against you. You made bad choices. Went against them. And let me say this to you this day. That when you've done everything you can do, take care of that child. You've done everything you can do to rear them right. You've done everything you can do, doing what's pleasing unto him. Oh, what a God. What a God that doesn't throw us away, but comes and gets us and takes us. Maybe it was a social error, something in your social life that you did. Misunderstand. It's a verse of scripture. You don't have to turn, but listen to what David says. Oh, this helped me so much. David says in Psalms 55 and verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Oh, my God. What a God that would allow us to go through such stuff and said, I may could have understood it if that's that wicked crater that hates what I'm saying, but this is one of mine equal. This is one of the brethren that's supposed to love me. This is one of my members that's been with me for all of these years. You ain't got hurt. Ain't that something now? Boy, my English teacher would love that. But you have not been hurt until you've been hurt by one of the dearest friends you think you have on this earth. I've had people that I've been with for years and years and years. They've sat under me from the time that I've been pastor of that church. And one little thing that they don't like, they can turn and slice your throat. What are you going to do, preacher? Keep on preaching. What are you going to do when that happens? Wound it, but thank God, keep going for the glory of God. Oh, God, help us. Maybe. Let me say this. I tell you one thing, preacher. That'll never happen to my child. I tell you one thing, preacher. They ought to do this and they ought to do this. Tell you what I do. Let me ask you spiritual giants something. What would you do if God saw fit in His sovereign wisdom and grace to put an Esau in your house? You better say this, and you listen to me well. Accept the grace of God. Man won't. Accept the grace of God. I'll do this. I'll do that. Oh, my God. Help us. Maybe. Today, and please, you don't have to amen this. You don't have to shake your head. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to give any implication. I hate to even have to say this, but I must. The Holy Ghost will lead me to say it. Maybe you've been hurt because of something you did. Maybe you've been hurt because of a rebellious son. Maybe you've been hurt because of a rebellious daughter. Or maybe you've been hurt because of sexual abuse. I think it's a disgrace to God that the national news media and talk shows has to cover subjects such as this. And the gospel preacher in the Baptist churches in our day don't ever address the issue to give God's people comfort concerning that. The devil has made you feel like you are the one that's guilty. Listen to this preacher this morning on the authority of God's Word. If you've been caught up in that stuff, if you had to put up with that stuff and it's happened to you in your home life, and I'm going to say no one's exempt. Makes no difference what your status, makes no difference who you are, where you came from. It makes no difference how much you have or don't have. It happens every day in this world that we're living in. David had a rebellious son that raped his own sister. Sexual abuse in the home and churches is in the so-called Christian home goes on every day. And I dare say that some right here this morning may have been wounded in this area late on, early in your life, and you have been sexually abused as a little girl or a little boy, and you've hid it and been ashamed of it. But I want to say to you, and listen, this man of God, you are not guilty. It's not your fault. Don't you carry that burden anymore. You don't have to, thanks be unto God. God is there for you, and you don't have to feel caught up in it. You've been wounded. I'm talking about wounds in this life. I don't know no other way to put this, Brother Ken. We've been wounded. Wounded. You couldn't help what happened to you when you were a child. You may have been wounded and carried that wound for years. You don't have to anymore. You can be free from it. Thanks be unto God. He can do that for us. That was not only sexual abuse, but that was also murder and hate in David's house. Some of you could be carrying wounds around that you have harboring hate in your heart. You've got to love them, but you don't have to like them. And you're hovering, you're so close to hating, you don't know what to do because of what happened to you or because of what they said or who they are. And you hover that stuff and you find yourself getting bitter and bitter and bitter and bitter. And the blood is beginning to drop. And you reach up, everyone, you think everything's all right, and you reach up and you feel like, hey, your shirt's getting wet. That blood on the inside, that internal wound is now beginning to ooze out. And it's beginning to come down and you're becoming, as a young lady did, you're becoming faint. then thou religious arrows. When God saved me, I thought all church folks were perfect angels. But it didn't find out. It didn't take me long to find out. They were angels, all right, but they were fallen. Some of the meanest people I've ever had to deal with in my life are in Baptist pulpits and sitting on Baptist pews. Some of the most arrogant, mean, wickedest people you'll ever come in contact with are church members. Some don't care if they rip your heart out. Some don't care what you're going through. No siree. They'll just stick a knife in it deeper. They don't care if they hurt you. God's true preacher will preach the word and try to help people to the best of his ability, not to hurt them. He'll try to help them. You can get hurt in a church. Let me say this. You can get hurt in a church such as this. You can get hurt in Calvary Baptist Church. We're not exempt. People occur. And I'm talking to people this morning, this crowd, no doubt in my mind, I'm talking to people this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You are sitting here and you are bleeding. You just don't want to come to the true fact of it. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, you don't have to leave here today hurting. You may be wounded, but you don't have to die. Let me remind you that whatever your hurt, your wound, God sent it. If I believe this, Brother David, and I do, that God's sovereign and He is, then I've got to believe He's in control. I've got to believe that whatever comes my way, Brother Mike, God knew it. God may not condone everything that goes on, but He sure allows it. He could have stopped that arrow. I remember years ago, my oldest daughter ran off and got married. I had brought her up from the time she was 5 years old under preaching church, made her go. She ran off and got married. She married a drug head, a dope addict. Messed her life up. Took her 10 years to get out of it. You may hang me out to dry and never have me back in this pulpit again or what I'm thinking to say, but I told her to leave the bum. I tried my best to get him saved. I tried my best to tell him about the Lord. I've bent over back, done everything I could for 10 years. And he started running around on her, going out shacking, doing everything under God's heaven, taking drugs, not getting all that stuff. And she just went through and got fed up with it, so she left him. Messed her life up. But now, going on with God. Wounded! But thanks be unto God, didn't die. God sent it. My wife looked at me that night. I got my gun, brother. I got that 44. I put it in my outside of my belt. I started down that steps at my house. You've been to my house. I started down that back door step. I started down, and my little boy and my little girl said, "Daddy, please, what are you going to do, Daddy? What are you going to do?" This was about 30 minutes before I had to preach when I found that out. Diane said, "Now, don't you do nothing foolish." She said, "You know who the target is."
That's right.
But I was going to kill him. Have you got right with God since, preacher? Yeah, I unloaded my gun, but I still beat him to death. But then I have to look. God let that arrow find it for that. I got a little granddaughter. Well, she's 22 years old now to come out of that marriage. Be graduating from college. Precious to Grandpa. Thanks, Grandpa walks on water. She's about broke me, but she thinks I walk on water. He lets that arrow find its way to us. And when it does, we cry out like Ahab. I'm wounded! I'm wounded! That's the reality. And I never want to mount this pulpit or any other pulpit or my pulpit without this in my heart and my mind. You're preaching to people that are hurting. You're preaching to people that you don't know what they've been through this week. You're preaching to people that you don't have a clue of what they're up against. So help them. Observe, secondly, the response to being wounded. Verse 34 and verse 35, it says, "And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against Sisera and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout. Back in verse 34, when that certain man drew that arrow, he said in verse 34, the last of it, "For I am wounded." Ahab made one of two responses he could have made, just like you and just like me. Listen to me very carefully. You can deny it and deny that you are wounded and pretend everything is all right. Or you can say, "Help! I'm wounded! I'm hurt!" and get some help. Look at what Ahab did in verse 34. When he got shot, he grabbed the arrow and said, "Get me out of the battle, I'm wounded." They ran the chariot a little ways down the road, propped him up, and he probably all day facing the Sisrans. And he did all day long facing that. He was wounded early in the morning, but didn't die till late that evening. Verse 35. They propped him up and he pretended he was not hurt because of his position. Now, positions. He said, "I'm a king. I'm strong. I'm a leader. Man, I can't hurt." Pastors are the world's worst. We have to put on a disguise. We can't come to the pulpit and let you know when we're bleeding. We can't come to the pulpit and let you know when we're hurting. We can't come. We don't want you discouraged. You think this man don't ever get discouraged? You're in for a rude awakening if you think he doesn't. No matter what your wound, don't cover it up. That's what he did. It'll kill you. You can pretend like Ahab, or you can outside and bleed to death on the inside, or you can find some help and say, "I'm hurt, I'm wounded, help me." Because of his position, the blood runs down the floor and the dogs begin to lick it up. "I'm too proud to say I need help. I'm too proud to go to that altar. I don't need it. I don't want anybody to know that." Let me tell you something. This is not a confessional booth. You don't come up here and spread your sin all over the church and tell everybody what you're going through. All you got to say is, "God, I'm wounded. I need help. Pray for me, dear brother. Pray for me, dear sister. Help me along the way and hold my hands up." We need to swallow pride and crawl to the altar, saying, "I'm wounded." Find some dear brother, find some dear sister you can relate to and rely on, help, draw strength from, and say, "I need help." Thank God, I'm glad He's a God. Oh, the reality of being wounded. Listen to me very carefully. I close with this. I'm cutting a lot of this out because of time's sake, but you're getting the drift of what I'm saying. The third thing I want you to look at in this, and don't lose sight of this, the remedy for our wounds. Ahab was sitting in his chariot near Gilead, verse 29 tells us. Gilead in that day was a place where the physicians from all over the world came to manufacture medicine. There was a balm tree down in Gilead that they got medicine from for internal wounds and external use. It was like a dogwood tree that had little leaves on it and turned into little apple-like looking things, turning green. They made medicine out of the bark and the sap and the roots. All they had to do was say, "Take me to Gilead. Get me down to Gilead. I'll find help there. The remedy is there." No, he just said, "I'm okay. Prop me up. Let me pretend." The whole time he was propped up and looked like he was in the chariot doing okay. His position looked like mighty fine, but I'm going to tell you right, he was dying the whole time. Bleeding to death because he'd been wounded. He said, "I'm okay. I'm okay." But he died. People are dying all over needlessly. By having wounds inflicted, whether intentionally or unintentionally, in direct will of God or indirect will of God, suffering from all kinds of wounds because they refuse to see the balm in Gilead. Of course, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm closing in just a second, but don't lose sight of this. He's the great physician. He's the balm in Gilead. Isaiah 53 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace was with him, and by his stripes we are healed." Thank God. Thank God. Jesus Christ is the Christ of the cross. He's the Christ that will not turn you away. He's the Christ that will heal you. He's the Christ that you can run to. He's the Christ that will set you up. And thank God, He's the Christ that's the balm in Gilead. There's nothing wrong with being wounded. There's nothing wrong with admitting you're wounded. The wrongness comes when we deny it and pretend that it doesn't exist and we don't go to get the help that we get from God. Some of you may still harbor hatred and bitterness over your past. Whatever. Come to the cross. Thank God it'll take care of it. Cast it on Him. He wants you to cast it there. Don't sit there and let bitterness and others destroy you. Thank God He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm hurt. Again, please, and I emphasize this. You don't have to confess your sins to me or anybody but Him. If your past is in the past, let me by all means say, leave it there. When you come to this altar, you say, God, you know what I need. You know what I'm bleeding from. You know what I'm wounded from. I'm not dragging up anything, God. I want to be set free. I want to be delivered. I want to leave Liberty Baptist Church today with liberty in my heart. Set free. Bound up. Glory be unto God with the salve and the balm of Gilead. With Jesus Christ operating in me and taking care of me. Set free. So, Lord, I'm hurt. Heal me. Whatever you need. The healing of Calvary will come in. There's a balm in Gilead. Wounded from childhood or whatever. Thank God He'll see you through. There's a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a balm in Gilead to heal the sick, sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged. I'm closing. If you want to come to the altar, you feel free to get up all over this congregation. Come right on. I'm going to read this song while I'm closing. If you stand to your feet, and whatever you need to do when I say this, you feel free to do that. Father, I love You today. Thank You for giving me the opportunity to share what You put on my heart.